Well, I hope you came expecting to see a miracle tonight. You see, I believe that God really loves you and that He wants to feed you. And He is somehow going to do that through me. And that's going to be a miracle. I mean, an absolute miracle. And I tell you what, I wrestle when Dad called me yesterday, and when he asked me something like this, I get sick on my stomach. I'm telling you, because I know where I'm at, and I know that I've got to get in better in tune what I am. And so I just look and see what I need. God speaks to me a little bit, and maybe it'll help you some. Amen. I tell you what, I watched Brother Rice for 2 hours last night, and it seemed like it was just yesterday. I watched him preaching for 2 hours, and it reminded me of how quick time goes away. And for many of you that never knew Brother Rice, he was something else. And I still think he's more alive today than he was when he was here on earth. But it also reminds me of how quick time is moving on. And we're in serious times. We're in serious times in this church. And if you don't think we are, you're part of the problem. And I'm part of the problem. In fact, tonight, first thing I wanted to say when I get up here tonight was I want to say this, and I mean this sincerely. If you want to know why Victory Baptist is no farther along than what it is, look at me. If you want to know why no more souls are being reached than what there is, and I'm the reason. And I mean it. It's me. And if there's cold in the difference here, it's me. I'm the reason. And I tell you, the greatest fear I ever had was that I'd be cold and different when Jesus comes back. And I don't want to be. I want to be in tune with God. Amen, brother. And I don't know if you noticed, but the last time I preached, I'm not quite as big as I was, as big a preacher as I was last time. Literally. But I discovered something. 2 years ago, my doctor told me point blank, he just said, "Jeff, you need to lose 50 pounds. Well, that kind of hurts, you know, when your doctor just tells you, he don't even smile, he said, "Jeff, you need to lose 50 pounds. And I said, "Okay." Well, the next year I came back to see him. I took blood pressure medicine, and that's the only reason I go back to see him once a year, because I can't get it refilled if I don't go see him. And I went in there and I sat down and I said, "Well, doctor," I said, "it's kind of foolish, really, for me to come back and see you, because I'd actually gain some more pounds. Besides losing 50, I'd even gain some more." I said, "Really, it's kind of foolish for me to come back and see you if I'm not going to follow your instructions." So I went on. Just went on again, doing as I pleased, basically. And then I started having some physical problems that really got my attention. And I went to see the doctor, and he told me, "Jeff, I'll tell you how to lose the weight." And I followed his instructions, and it happened. And I'm not there yet, but it happened, and I feel so much better physically. And I thought, spiritually speaking, it is no different than right here. It's absolutely no different. God has an exercise program for all of us. And it's simple, but simple doesn't mean it's easy. Last year, I went over by Matt and Mary's house, and I took my big tractor over there, and I dug up a spot, and I thought, "Boy, I'm going to plant me some taters over here." And boy, I did. And I raised close to 300 pounds of potatoes. And one of the first things the doctor told me that you got to cut, he said, is potatoes. And right now in my shop at the house, there's leftover potatoes and sacks with vines growing out the sides of them because I cut the potatoes. But exercise spiritually is a daily thing. He told me, he said, you need to start walking. And I said, well, I work on the farm, son. He said, ain't good enough. He said, you got to start walking. He told me, he said, you know what? If you don't take care of yourself, you can't do nothing. You can't help nobody. And really, that's the way it is spiritually. If we don't take care of ourselves, we're not going to be of help or benefit to anybody. And I can guarantee you that there's people out there that's needing help. And some, no doubt, maybe even here tonight. I'm going to try to be as brief, and it usually is with me, but I want you to turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to jump around here just a little bit. But this verse spoke to me. Deuteronomy chapter 10. In verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And I'm going to jump back and forth in a few verses here in Deuteronomy. But the Bible says here, and God, of course, Moses, God had given the Ten Commandments, and he's given some instructions to Israel. And the verse starts out this way. It says, Now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And I stopped. And I changed that just a little bit, and I backed up and I said, and let's read it again. And you do the same, but only this time you put your name where Israel is. And now, Jeff, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. A few verses back prior to that, in verse 40 of chapter 4, thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. In verse 29 of chapter 5, he says, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. You know, a lot of times it seems like we're forgetting about the children. It seems like we're living in a day when most of us that grew up in this church, when we started in 1977, we've watched our generations come along. And I begin to wonder, where are the children? Where are they going? What's happening? And we shouldn't forget the children, because God points out here that souls are at stake. Now is a present. This is the present time. Now is the time to serve God. Now is the time to walk with God. Who is this God that we should serve? Who is he? In verse 17 of chapter 10, for the Lord your God is a God of gods, a Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. Somehow, hell has got far away from us. While we sit here on this side of eternity, here in a quiet room on a hill perched in southeast Missouri, somewhere, I believe, underneath this building, if we were to go deep enough, we would go into a chasm where we would find literally souls of people that are trapped forever. It's a sobering thought. It's a scary thought. I tell you what, if you listen to any old-time preachers, I tell you what, I was listening to what I was telling Brother Danny. I was listening to one, Harold Seitler, and I was ready to get saved again myself. And I talked to Dad about this. I don't take it for granted that in 1967 in that old farmhouse one night, I go back there often in my mind. I've got to make sure. I got to make sure.
Amen,
you need to make sure. Man, it's a scary thought. You know, everything I can find from the scripture here, and boy, I tell you what, you just need to get in this book, and it'll begin, all you can see all the way through the book, God is going like this constantly. He's constantly going like this, waving at you, telling you, warning you, stop, listen, think about this, look at this. This is going to happen. It's real. It's a real place. And I'm telling you, it's outer darkness. It's outer darkness. I'm telling you what. No fear of God. There's a man that lives on a hill just directly this direction. Live on out double A and he hit the gravel road. He's a military man. He's tough. He's older and he's tough. He's a little bit mean. And we're all just a little bit mean if you want to know the truth. We all got a little bit of a mean streak in us. But he's really mean. And man, every time I've dealt with him, he's just hard to deal with. I mean, he's just, rawr, rawr, rawr. He'd come in the office and Laura, she just, you know, because he's just mean. And the Lord just kept flopping him back in front of me. And finally come in about around Christmas. And Aggie, she'd order some of these tracks from the Sword of the Lord, these Christmassy tracks, you know, and I kept some on my desk and I thought, boy, I'm going to give him one. And I said, and man, he's mad at gun control. He's mad at everybody that's trying to take his rights away. They're all after his money. Here, all they want is, and boy, he said, oh, if I could get to him, I'd kill him. You know, he just, I said, I believe in guns. I got one in my truck. You know, I was trying to be on his side. And I said, boy, I fear God more than I do them. I don't fear God. I don't fear God. The fool has said in his heart. That's why I told him. I said, the fool. I said, you know what, Don? His name, first name. I said, you know what, Don? I said, the devil's just hung a big old lure in front of you and you just jumped after it like a bass and just swallowed it whole. You just swallowed it whole and had a chance. But let me tell you something. Souls are at stake. I tell you what, if you get to really dwelling on this, if you go to bed tonight and you shut everything off and you picture somebody that you know that's in hell right now.
Amen.
Boy, I tell you what, there's this little girl. She's a killer car accident. And they try to make over like, oh yeah, she knows Jesus. But there wasn't no evidence as I could see where she knew Jesus. You think about, and I'm telling you, if you think about her being there forever,
amen,
crying, help me, get me out of here, forever. That's what we're talking about.
Amen.
Man, he's serious. He said, man, it's serious enough. If you can't get a hold of yourself, cut that hand off. Pluck your eye out. Whatever you do, you got to do to stir yourself up, do it. Serious business. And I tell you what, we're kidding ourselves playing around. If you believe in God at all, you think the God of heaven would send his only begotten son because of it, and then we can just treat it so lightly?
Preach, brother.
Huh?
Amen.
Are we insane or what? Are you kidding me that I treat it so lightly? I'm telling you what, this whole book is full of it all the way through. Now's the time. Romans 12:2. Flip over there. So what's wrong? Have you ever noticed? I'm telling you, have you ever noticed people's thinking today? I mean, I see stuff and I go, what in the world are they thinking? I mean, people that we've known. Brother Rice, last night, I was listening to this tape and he was in there preaching down there in Tennessee somewhere in this little church. And he was saying, and this was 1992. It's on at 1992. And he said, boy, over in Missouri, he said, over there's a place called Elsinore, Missouri. He said, boy, over there, they got to doing this, and a preacher. And he said, I went over and had revival services. He said, man, and people got stirred up about souls. He said, they had more on their membership than the town itself. And you know what? He was telling the truth.
Yeah.
Do you remember those big days?
Yes,
Let's all pack up and drive overnight and see how he's over. What happened to their thinking? How are you? What's your thinking? Who are you getting your counsel from? What are you thinking? Well, Romans 12. We all know this scripture. 12:1. But let's skip the first. We know the first verse. We know, but that second verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know what? Now, I'm true. I do a lot of things to please my dad. I will do because I respect my dad. And by the way, there ought to be young people in this church who ought to respect your parents too. Man, I can't think about it. I couldn't believe. I tell you what, one thing, and I will tell you, when I was 17, and most of all you know, there was a time in my life I was rebellious. I got rebellious, and my mom will tell you, I got rebellious. And boy, the Lord worked me over too. He worked me over. But I had seen evidence in my mom and dad's life. I had seen their faithfulness to God, and something was just like, it just drawed me. It drawed me. And I was miserable when I was rebellious. I was miserable. And God kept drawing me. And you know what? But my thinking, what can I do about my thinking? We got to guard our thinking. And here, you know what? Our thinking shows up on us. How your thinking shows in our life, how we think about things. Sometimes it could be real discouraging to see people that you thought, boy, I thought those people were, I thought they had convictions. I thought they really, and then you think, well, what made them change their thinking? What happened that they started changing their thinking on things? Did they miss something here? Where'd it go? Yeah. I mean, there's people that they just never dreamed. I thought, my goodness, what happened? They're thinking. And you know what? Just like Dr. David said, Jeff, you got to walk every day. And I've been walking past Chuck and Kim. They're dogs. I know their dogs better than they know their dogs. Get back to the house. I'd walk down there. And my doctor said, don't you walk when it gets too cold. That's why you ain't seen me walk. I've been walking in the shop, sitting on a treadmill. But you got to do it every day. And once you get going every day, it's just, man, it's not simple, but it's easy. And let's walk. And you know what? Renew our mind every day. It's an exercise. But we got to do it. And there's only one way to do it. And that's in this book. Because the more we get in this book, the more we're going to start thinking like God. And if you ain't been in this book, it's no wonder the spiritual things ain't interest to you. And the world, oh, everybody loves Jesus. Oh, my goodness, everybody worships the Lord. Yes. I just had a lady call me this afternoon. How many of your electric went off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Now, and the Lord said, see how it is without power? I thought, oh boy, you got to have some power. This lady called me, and her husband had accidentally shot somebody and killed him during deer season. And man, I've been praying for him. I worried over him, and they're not, to my knowledge, they're not saved people. And I thought, how ironic is it here on Sunday afternoon? In fact, I just got off the phone with Mom to see if they had electric. And we only got one manual phone. The rest of them are all electric phones. You know, they got to have electric to work. But I got one old manual phone up by the bedroom. And Ag says, I think that's a phone ringing. We just get to try to eat. So, boy, I ran up here. That's probably Mom. Electric, you know, she's going to tell. Hello? Yeah, this is Vicky. Vicky. And I thought. And she's the very one. If you remember visitation, I said, I want to go see this fella. A few Thursday nights ago, I want to go see him. And Dad wouldn't go with me. I went myself. They weren't home, and I left him a note. And she called me, and she's talking to me. And I'm trying to think, how can I? turned this conversation towards God, you know. You know what she said? I said, Vicky, I said, because I can't imagine. I mean, the devil, can you imagine? Accidentally shot a cousin deer hunting. Killed him. Held him in his arms till he died. Can you imagine? See, she said they were like brothers. Most of us guys in here, we're hunters, you know. We're kind of that same. We know. And you know what? And I said, so I began to say, well, and I'm thinking, you know, the only one can really help him. There's only one that can really help him get past it, isn't it? We all know that we're born again. In here, you know what can help this man. He needs the Lord in his life.
Amen.
He needs God. She was raised Catholic, and you know, she says, well, I talk to God every day. My church is outdoors. My church is outdoors. And so, you know where she's at, spiritually speaking, you know. So pray for them. But you know what? I tried to tell her. I said, well, you know, I'm going to come and see you. I want to come reach out because there's souls at stake. Mind, awake. What are you thinking? The recipe for daily living is by renewing our mind by God's word. And we find that in Psalms 1. And we all know that. But let's turn over there. We find it in Psalms 1. When God tells us, here's the recipe. Blessed is that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and doth he meditate day and night. Meditate. That means you read it, and you go think on it. You read some, and go think on it. You read it, mark your Bible up, think on that. Man, I love to mark the Bible, and boy, I read that, and I read something, and it speaks to me. And I begin to think. Meditate on God's word. Let me get the mind of Christ. Let me get God's thinking in me. So I won't have stinking thinking. I'll have God's thinking. I'll have the right kind of thinking. You know what? A lot of us, I can get so weak because I'm not been in God's word and I haven't been feeding myself. And it's one thing we can, boy, amen, yeah. Amen, brother, amen, amen. There used to be people sitting right here say amen. Yeah, I was out on visitation the night and he was drinking a Bud Light with a guy I've been trying to witness to. When I pulled up, he said, oh, I know what this is. It's Thursday night visitation. Just like that. And that's a guy you sit here and he said amen all the time. What happened to his thinking?
Amen.
Huh? Oh, that'll never happen to me. We better all take heed lest we fall. Amen. Thinking. I'm telling you, we don't realize. Is God don't move in our time. One day's 1,000 years. God ain't pressured. God ain't pressured. But I'm telling you, 1 second into eternity, it's a whole lot bigger thing than Jeff Parker's got figured out. And He's a mighty God. Who is this God that we should serve? He's a mighty God. He's terrible. Terrible. It describes it being terrible. I looked up that word terrible. You know, you've heard about kids being the terrible twos. And Webster said to stand in awe. You see a little 2-year-old that's going crazy, you used to go. How many seen that down at the Walmart store and a kid going, oh, I'd like to have that kid for a while. Oh, man, I'll tell you, if I could just get that old that kid. But you know what? That's what's going to be when we see. I'm telling you. And you know what happens, though? And it's easy to do because it happens. The old preacher, an old gray-headed preacher, he's up here, and he ain't perfect. I know, but boy, I tell you what. He has something, and I just wish I had little of it. He has the power of God. He's pleading and begging and telling you. And then you see. Just like zombies. I tell you what, when God gives up, there ain't no hope. When God gives up, there ain't no hope. You know what's going to happen? One day God's going to get tired of messing with us. One day God's going to get tired of messing with you. That's what I'm afraid of. God's going to get tired of messing with me. And the Bible says here in Deuteronomy 10:17, he regardeth not persons, and he will destroy them that hate him to their face. Everyone that forgets God is turned into hell. I'm telling you tonight, you better go home. Think about it. Are you willing to risk eternity on your profession? Are you willing to risk eternity on your relationship with God? Have you thought about it? Have you felt God's presence? Have you felt, do you get under conviction? Does it bother you? Does it bother you to think, boy, you know what, I've been slacking. I'm just pretty casual about it. I can take it or leave it. It ain't no big deal. I don't have to have it. I'll come when I, is that how it is with you? It's a scary thought. You know what? God doesn't have to have me, but I sure got to have him. I don't have, God don't need me, but I sure need him. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:22 that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That is true worship. With reverence and godly fear. You know, used to, we'd always call the preacher the reverend. But there ain't too much reverend anymore. Not even for the church house. Yeah. Not for Sunday. Not for the things of God. We need to serve God with true reverence. You know what? I need to serve the Lord with all my heart. With all my influence. With all of my substance. With all of my passion. And we know what? That's not an easy thing to do. But that ought to be the goal. I'm wondering tonight that if you were to think about it, if you're willing to do the daily exercise. It's easy to say, boy, you know, doctor, yeah, I know I need to do that. But you start cutting potatoes out of your diet and see how you like it. French fries, potato chips. Sunday night after church, go home, man, I can't handle potato chips. You start cutting ice cream out, and breads, and a whole stack of saltine crackers with a cold glass of ice cold milk. Oh. But I'm telling you, the benefits are wonderful. The benefits of that, because you know what? The benefits of serving God is that it's going to be well with thee forever. Well with thee forever. You know what? How's your children doing? Are they doing well? Don't we all want our children to do well? Don't we want it to be well with our children, our grandchildren? I can tell you what, the only way it's going to be well with you is if we recognize we need God. And our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. You know what? Chains of darkness forever.